The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What is the greatest error of modern Christianity? Do you know? What one idea has deceived millions of people, my friends, and cut them off from God Himself? I'm not exaggerating. Why is this such a universal deception? And why are people so easily deceived by this false teaching regarding law or grace? You need to know. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks the question, law or grace? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
What is mainstream Christianity's greatest single deception? Why will this deception literally cut you off from God if you fall for it? Again, my friends, I challenge you to go get your own Bible. Please check up on me, especially this time. You need to be sure of this matter. Will you believe what the Bible clearly teaches? I say clearly teaches, over and over and over. Listen to what Jesus Christ actually said. Check up on me here. Get this Bible, get it out, and follow me if you possibly can. I'm going to give you teaching right out of your Bible that's clear, and it contradicts a lot of things most of you have been taught. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 36, Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." You see, Jesus was the light of the world. He showed us how we ought to live. And most ministers and theologians agree with that. They give lip service to that, but they don't really follow it. And they don't follow through in teaching the things that this obviously leads to. Jesus set the example. He was the light. And he said these things as he spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. Of course, these Jews still did not believe him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, and remember, the gospel is quoting Isaiah. God quotes the Old Testament as the Word of God, and that's some things we need to understand. Most Christians do not fully believe every word of God. But Isaiah quoted was quoted here, and Jesus constantly quotes from the Old Testament as God spoken. Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn, and so I should heal them." He showed that people were going to be deceived. These things Isaiah said when he saw his, that is Christ's, glory. He looked ahead in vision, in a sense, and God revealed to him that Christ was coming. He saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many among the rulers of the Jewish people, the religious rulers, of course, he's talking of, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, you see, they were afraid of these others who were the ones in control. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Think about that. Do you love the praise of men? Or do you have the courage and faith to stand up against the majority? Do you have this courage to get, you know, to go against your relatives, to go against your friends in order to obey and acknowledge the truth of God and do what God says? Notice verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." God sent Jesus with a message. Will you believe that message? "And he who sees me sees him who has sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." He was the light. He showed us how we ought to live. Don't just believe in Jesus, but believe what he taught. And that is what Jesus himself tells us, my friends, over and over. Please understand that. So many people say, I just believe in the Lord, and yet they go their own way. They manufacture their own doctrine. They get a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion, and they do their own thing. And that is contrary, totally contrary, to what the Bible says. Notice back in the Gospel of Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. A very important principle that is stated many times in the New Testament, but very clearly here. Verse 46 of Luke 6, Jesus said, But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Christ the Lord, if he's your Lord, he's your boss. Lord means master, it means boss. You must obey Jesus' teachings, not just express faith in his person. That is a dead faith. And so, though many assume otherwise, the vast majority of Christian ministers teach that we do not need to literally keep the Ten Commandments. And yet Jesus taught the Ten Commandments over and over again. They say we're under grace. We're under grace and not under law, and we don't have to really do what Jesus said. So let's see what Jesus really taught as a way of life, and I'm going to make that plainer than perhaps you've ever heard. Did Jesus Christ know the truth about Christianity? Didn't Jesus know what really was teaching, the Christian teaching was really all about? That's ridiculous as a question, isn't it? Of course he did. He was the embodiment of Christianity. Picture Jesus of Nazareth in Judea. Picture Jerusalem, where Jesus was teaching over and over again, walking around there among the Jews, among his fellow Jews, and teaching them the right way to eternal life. Remember, Jesus does not have a double standard. One way for the Jews and another way for the Gentiles. God says that over and over again. He says there's no respect of persons with God. God has one way. So he didn't tell the Jews, well, you keep the commandments, and you Gentiles, you don't have to. That's hypocrisy. That's a double standard. God has no double standard. And you ministers out there listening, you better figure that out too. God does not have a double standard. He teaches one way of life. He doesn't teach one way for the Jews and another way for the Gentiles. Never did. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and beginning here in verse 16. Behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, what's the way to eternal life? Here's what Jesus taught. He said, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, here's the teaching. Do you want eternal life, my friends? Jesus said, If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments, plural. Did Jesus understand the way to eternal life? Again, that's a ridiculous question. Jesus knew and he understood because he was the embodiment of true Christianity. And so we need to understand the way of life. Now let's see what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn, if you would, back to chapter 5, and here we find the Sermon on the Mount, as it is called. Matthew 5 and verse 17, in that sermon Jesus said, Do not think that I came to destroy the law. Well, many ministers teach Jesus came to nail the law to the cross, or the Apostle Paul did away with God's law and directly contradicted Christ in the process, they have to admit. No, that's not true. Here is the Son of God speaking. He said, I did not come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, listen, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments, Jesus said, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you teach and do even the least of God's commandments, you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And what commandments, pray tell, is Jesus talking about here? Well, I think all of you know, but for the sake of argument, read on down through verse 21 to 23, and he says, you know, the commandment of the old teaching of the Jews, I should say, Mosaic religion and the Pharisees and their Talmud, said don't do any murder, you know, literally, of course, in the letter. But Jesus said, I say to you, you're not even to hate your brother in your heart. You're not even to have the spirit of murder. Then he says in verse 27 and 8, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. How dare these modern ministers come out and water down Jesus' clear teaching? Think about that. How dare they say this is all done away? At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for a truly powerful and eye-opening booklet entitled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This booklet is fully documented, and it spells out what really happened to the Christianity of Christ and the apostles. This attractive booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. It will help you prove to yourself some of these key issues of life. So write or call. Call us today and request your free copy of this powerful booklet. You need this booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. It will open your eyes. Call now. The operators are waiting.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. We were at Matthew 5 and verse 19 in the Sermon on the Mount, explaining what Jesus Christ actually taught. Notice Matthew 5, verse 19. Jesus said here very clearly, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Some men don't like the commandment against murder. That is, they like to go off and fight and kill in war. Other men don't like the commandment that thou shalt not commit adultery because they want to have new wives every now and then with no real excuse to do so at all. No biblical reason to divorce their wives. And that's adultery also. Some men like to break God's Sabbath. And of course, the majority of people are deceived on that point. They will not keep the Sabbath God gave. They smash and break the fourth commandment of God, the commandment Jesus kept, the commandment Jesus exemplified. They've got to continue to break various ones of God's commandments, and they make all kinds of wonderful excuses, but they break them. And they have these excuses that somehow they were done away, or the Apostle Paul did away with them. Well, let's see about that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2, if you would, and beginning in verse 11. God says here, there is no partiality with God, or the King James says, there's no respect of persons. No respect of persons. Not one standard for the Jews and another standard for Gentiles. God has no double standards. He requires the same way of life for all of us. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Yes, the doers of the law. That's a powerful statement. Is the Apostle Paul teaching us to be doers of the law? Of course he is. You can read. Now, some of the theologians apparently don't know how to read. But you can read, and you can figure that out. Turn to verse 21 here. He said, the Apostle Paul wrote, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? He's talking to the Jews and some of their leaders because they taught the commandments. They at least taught that they were to be kept, but they didn't keep them. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, and he is talking about the Ten Commandments, about adultery, about stealing, if a righteous man or a man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, the Ten Commandments, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Won't he be considered, in a sense, spiritually a Jew? And they looked at it at that time. He had to be a Jew spiritually. And certainly Paul says that's right. He says that's right. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, even with your written code and circumcision, who are transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is that circumcision outward in the flesh. God's not concerned with the outward symbolisms. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And he shows, if you keep God's law, if you let Christ live his life in you, as I'll go on to show, you can do that. That is what God wants. But in the theological seminaries, or perhaps cemeteries, as sometimes they're called of this world, prospective ministers are taught just the opposite. They're taught, well, no, you don't have to keep the law, you're under grace. And that old law is done away. And that old law is nailed to the cross. And blah, blah, blah. Clearly contrary. You have to decide whether to listen to all of that stuff against the writings of the Apostle Paul, because Paul didn't teach that, or whether you believe the clear teachings of Paul and the clear teachings of Jesus Christ, which was not done away with. The Son of God was not to be done away with. And his teaching was not to be done away with. And the teachings of James and all the rest. So let's clearly, let's look into the clear teachings of the Apostle Paul on this subject. Turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God, he didn't say the new commandments of Jesus now, notice that, keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here Peter is talking about the writings of Paul and explaining something to us which many do not fully understand, because some of them make Paul their Savior, but not the real Paul of the Bible. They set up a counterfeit Paul and quote from him and pervert his teaching. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Peter explained, Paul wrote some things which are hard to understand, notice, which those who are untaught and unstable twist. They twist or pervert these things to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures. They pervert Paul's writings. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of lawless men. Be careful how you read Paul's writings, lest you be led away with the error of lawless men. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Not the knowledge of the Apostle Paul, but what Christ taught. And follow Paul as he follows Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. My friends, let's look at the clever twists again, which misguided men have put on Paul's writings. Some of them are sincere, but they're very deceived. And Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they fall into the ditch together. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul writes, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Yet by grace, what does grace mean? Well, look it up in any dictionary, theological dictionary. It means free, unmerited pardon. You've been saved. You've been forgiven your past sins through grace. But it doesn't mean that that gives you license to go out and sin again. The judge can give you grace if you go before a judge in a traffic court, and he will not give you a fine. He will give you mercy or grace, But he doesn't say, go back and break the law. Go ahead 95 miles an hour down the freeway tomorrow. That's ridiculous. By grace, you've been forgiven. By grace, you've been brought back in contact with God and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. You see, in forgiving our past sins. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, even the faith, you know, is a gift of God. That faith, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You don't earn your salvation, and that since your mercy from your past sins and your transgressions, that comes through mercy, through grace. So you don't earn it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Oh, we have to have good works. Yes, we do have to have them. And those good works are founded on the Ten Commandments. And that's why Christ taught clearly over and over, you're to keep the commandments as a way of life. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's not anything saying the commandments were nailed to the cross. Notice that it doesn't say that. It's not there. Turn to Colossians 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You've come up out of the watery grave from baptism, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements which was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. What is this? Is this the Ten Commandments then? This is the key verse, nailed to the cross. Notice, he wiped out the handwriting of ordinances, the requirements here, the chirographon tois dogmason, as it is in the Greek. And right in my Bible, I didn't put it there, but the editors, the Greek experts, call it a certificate of debt. Some of the commentaries explain it's a note of guilt that was generally put right on the cross of a condemned criminal. Remember, many criminals were nailed to the cross in Jesus' day, and of course, he was not a criminal. And so they nailed this indictment. They had no bad thing to say, so they said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so they put that up there instead. But what God is showing here is that Jesus was nailed to the cross, and the note of guilt, the record of our sins, and sometimes the record of the sins of these condemned men was nailed up there, you know, John Black, the murderer, whatever. The record of their sins was put there, and that note of guilt, the record of our sins, was put on Jesus' cross. Christ was nailed to the cross, and our sins were nailed to the cross, and the Ten Commandments were certainly not nailed to the cross. Can we figure that out, my friends? Had nothing to do with nailing the Ten Commandments to the cross. Turn with me now to Romans 6, verse 12. Paul writes, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It says in 1 John 3, 4, sin is the transgression of the law. That is the Bible definition of sin. Sin is breaking God's commandments. Sin is murder. Sin is adultery. Sin is stealing, and so forth. That's what sin is. So let's just understand that. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3, 4. So he's saying here, therefore do not let lawlessness, breaking God's law, just read that word in there because that's what it is, reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Lawlessness shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, and that expression certainly means under the penalty of the law, a sense of guilt. And that's what it's talking about. You're not under that penalty, you're not under the law, you're not guilty, and you're certainly not to obey lawlessness. You're not under the law, but you've been forgiven, you see. You're under grace. As a Christian, you're no longer under that penalty as long as you don't deliberately break that law. What then? Shall we sin? Shall we break God's law? Shall we smash the Ten Commandments? Shall we kill our grandmother because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid! Don't do that. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience to righteousness. Remember the key principle, my friends, that I have always given you, and I want to give you again here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Turn there if you would. I don't need to. It's my favorite scripture because it's so clear, and all the translations of the Bible have it clearly. The Apostle Paul is the one who gave it. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Or to have Christ living in us. Jesus, as a Jew growing up in Israel and as a teacher of God, kept God's commandments. He said to the young man, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. He said to the people accusing him of the Sabbath, he showed them how to keep the Sabbath. He never broke it. He showed them how to keep God's Sabbath day. He showed them how to keep all of God's commandments. He said, don't ever commit adultery, but don't even look on a woman to lust after her. Don't break the spirit of the law. Let God's law be written in your heart and minds, God tells us, under the new covenant. Let Christ live his life in you. Again, be sure to call or write now for your free copy of our vital booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This booklet is fully documented and spells out what really happened to the Christianity of Christ and the apostles. This attractive booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. It will help you prove to yourself some of these key issues of life. So write or call today and request your copy of this vital booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And my friends, be sure to tune in next week and every week to powerful Tomorrow's World programs. You will be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern Christian world. And tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.